Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Today's episode is brought to you by the Astro Poets Podcast. It's a new show about astrology, poetry, and culture. Hosts Alex Dimitrov and Dorothea Lasky are the duo behind the viral Astro Poets Twitter account, and now they're combining their love of poetry and passion for the cosmos with a healthy dose of internet culture. It's a show that looks at love, compatibility, and the world through the lens of the cosmos. Search for the Astro Poets Podcast on your favorite podcast app and start listening today. Today's episode is brought to you by Shame on You. Imagine interviewing your exes for the world to hear. That's the sort of thing that happens on the Shame on You podcast. Hosts Jordan and Brad are best friends from Toronto, working to eradicate gay shame by interviewing gay men from all walks of life. If you like hearing me talk about my dating life, then you'll love their episode about Adrian the stripper, with whom one of the hosts went on a date. Join Jordan and Brad as they spark a revolt against society's norms and welcome you to their unapologetic journey to $0. Shame on You is the fastest growing gay podcast in the world. So check it out now. Now on with the show. Welcome to Unhappy Hour, the show where we bitch about all the things we love to hate every single week. I'm your host, Matt Bellassai. I'm here in the studio, as always, with my producer, Barry Finkel. Hi, Mary.
Hey, Matt. You look so well-rested.
Why don't you go fuck yourself, okay? You know exactly why I don't look well-rested. Because I took a goddamn red-eye this morning after staying in a shit Airbnb all week.
Whose fault is that?
Shut off the water on the last day. So I had to go to a gas station and buy a gallon of ice-cold water and then bathe with a water bottle, basically.
Oh, whoever booked that is an idiot.
I left a hot shit in the toilet.
Oh, that's a hot shit in an ice cold jug of water. No, what a way to start the day. No, I'm just saying that's
a
bowl. Oh, okay, all right.
They're like a Cocoa Puff with no milk.
Let's just move on.
Anyway, also, I'm forced to issue a correction, even though famously nothing I say on here is wrong ever.
Ever.
But a number of Starbucks baristas messaged me on various platforms to say that you cannot, in fact, get a pumpkin spice latte all year round. It is truly only seasonal.
Wow.
But it sounds like a fucking ploy, okay? It sounds like all of you have just been inducted into the cult of Starbucks, and you're just doing whatever your fucking Lord and Savior tells you to do, which is to write me so that I'm get on the microphone and say, oh, fucking pumpkin spice lattes are rare, and now you have to go out, you have to rush out and get them. So all you want me to do is support a run on Starbucks for their pumpkin spice lattes. So, whether it's true or not, there's no way of truly knowing, but plan accordingly. All right, anyway, we're going to kick things off, as always, with Worst Things First, where I vent about the worst news of the week. After that, we are diving deep into Tall Girl problems, because the Netflix film Tall Girl was inspiring. This is not sponsored by Tall Girl.
It's truly not, and I hope it never will be.
But the plight of the tall girl, it's historic, it is overlooked, and it is not exaggerated at all. And therefore, we are adding our voices to the campaign as two tall girls, okay? And finally, we finally have Liza Koshy in the studio. Liza is an actress, comedian, internet sensation. The second season of her YouTube original series, Liza on Demand, comes out Wednesday, September 25th.
That's tomorrow.
We talk about all that and so much more. So let's get into it. Let's do it. Let's reach the highest shelf and start the show. All right, worst things first, the worst news of the week. First, authorities in Tennessee say a woman who stopped for gas while driving through the state noticed that her trunk wasn't all the way closed, and when she opened it, there was a complete stranger in there.
No.
She was harboring someone and she had no idea. And then the person leapt out and ran away after the woman was like, I'm calling the police.
Wait, was it the kind of trunk that's like a fully closed trunk?
I think.
It's not like a Prius trunk. Either way, that's terrifying. One I've had actual nightmares about. The other is just also bad.
About a Prius? Yeah. Owning a Prius?
Yeah. Absolute nightmare.
I could never.
No, someone just like coming up behind you and suddenly there's someone in your back seat.
Oh, well,
That I've truly had nightmares about.
But I think this is more like, oh, you go to put away, like, the groceries, and then right next to all the, like, Clif Bar wrappers in your trunk and empty bottles of water, there's a person. Fully dead.
What?
No. I guess, so at first, the woman was like, oh, she kind of looked like she was injured, so maybe, like, they thought she was, like, running away from somewhere, she had gotten, like, attacked. Oh. But I guess security, like, surveillance footage confirmed that she just got harmed while she was running through some woods. That was the term used in the article. Some woods, and that she willingly climbed into the unsuspecting driver's trunk. It just seems like you go to old Tennessee, you know? You're going to hitch a ride somewhere, hop in the trunk. I mean, hop in this trunk, am I right?
No.
One day, I'm going to find an unsuspecting person in my trunk, and that day is right now. Next! Police in Nebraska say a woman sparked an apartment fire last week by using a butane torch to burn a bunch of letters from her ex-boyfriend in her bedroom.
Good, Shiro.
To be fair, it just says ex. So I'm sorry for being heteronormative. It could have been anything. She could have been dating a couch.
If it wronged her, it deserved to burn.
Yeah, well, first of all, this is literally a scene from Friends, even though the woman in the story is 19 years old and probably doesn't even own a television, okay? Oh, fucking Gen Z, bitch. But also, I mean, I get it. On the one hand, I would willingly burn down. If someone wrongs me, I'm not fucking around with gas, okay? I'm turning up my oven.
Yeah, that's gas.
And then I'm lighting a match and everyone's going out with me. Except I'm not blowing up my own apartment. No. I'll go to the person who wronged me and blow up their apartment.
There we go.
But make it look like an accident.
Boom. Literally.
Okay, yeah. What happened was the woman used a butane torch to burn the letters, left some of them on the floor before going into another room to take a nap, and then woke a short time later to find the carpet on fire.
Her priorities, I would love to see the to-do list for that day.
Yeah.
Wake up.
Buy butane torch.
Burn all of my ex's letters. Nap. Take a nap.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. That's a perfect day.
And then put out the fire.
I hope that she bought a fire extinguisher along with the butane torch. They should really do a 2-for-1 deal.
I mean, firefighters were able, they had to put it out. It wasn't her. And officials say the fire caused an estimated $4,000 in damage
to
the building.
Damn, that's a nice-ass I was going to say a nice-ass carpet, but...
No, I mean, I don't think it took them a while to... I feel like smoke does more damage than the fire. Because of what I've seen on This Is Us, the hit NBC classic starring Mandy Moore. Anyway, next! Authorities in South Carolina say that for the fourth time, a Vietnamese pot-bellied pig named Leroy wandered over to an elementary school in Columbia, South Carolina, leading officials to slap his owner, McGregor, that's his first name, with citations for owning a pig within city limits and having a fugitive pet. Fugitive.
Leroy is a fugitive.
Wallace is the man, is scheduled for a court appearance in October.
What are you going to do, arrest the pig?
Yeah. Oh, a pig arresting the pig.
Oh.
They say that Leroy the pig is his emotional support animal meant to help him deal with PTSD from domestic trauma. Okay. Great. But yeah, he said that he got Leroy several months ago to replace a standard pig that grew too big. That's classic mistake.
In college, I knew a girl who was like, I got a teacup pig. And then a couple months later, she was like, turns out I have a pot-bellied pig. And it was fucking huge.
Yeah,
and she now,
like,
you know where she lives now?
Pounds.
In a tiny home.
Oh, no.
I hate her.
She's just living the carved out carcass of the pig. That pig is probably bigger than her home.
It lives in a sty next to her.
Actual pigs are huge.
It's a fucking huge ass pig. I've met him. His name
is
Pumbaa.
They're like 700 pounds.
Sure. Yeah.
My favorite part is that he says Leroy is clever and knows how to open the home's gate when Wallace isn't home. The pig also can open the refrigerator. I think my favorite part of the story, I think, is apparently the guy is being cited because the pig had been repeatedly escaping and going to the elementary school nearby. And I just love the idea that this man has been consistently outsmarted by a pig.
You know why? Because that pig has been going to school.
Yeah.
He's been getting an education.
Yeah. You know who's teaching him?
That
fucking goat.
Lizard. Oh, the goat. Okay. Last week a lizard was in the elementary school.
Well, there was that goat last year who
Fred the goat.
Fred the goat, who was springing all of these animals free.
You know what? Leroy probably listens to this podcast.
Maybe Fred the goat taught some type of online course.
Yeah, potentially Skillshare.
Yeah, Skillshare Masterclass, one of those. And Leroy took that class, figured that shit out. And McGregor, the human, doesn't know that maybe you should change the fucking locks after the first time your pig escapes. We had a dog that used to climb multiple gates.
What?
We had those baby gates that you put to lock, keep the dog in one room.
Keep the babies away.
Right. Well, yeah, initially it was used to cage my brother and I, but as we grew older, my mom used it on the dogs, and the one dog would scale the gate.
Amazing.
And then we'd put two gates on top of one another, it'd be 7 feet tall, and he would scale that. And then we had to shoot him.
No!
No, we didn't. And finally, authorities in Florida, only in Florida, say a man and a woman who were stopped for drunken bicycling in a beach town had sex in the deputy's patrol car before one of them fled naked. All right, there's a lot happening here.
Let's break it down. Break it down.
Question number one, how did this happen? I know, what was this deputy doing that they were able to then fully fuck and then one of them was able to run away?
Also, are they wearing handcuffs? Were they already arrested?
That hasn't stopped anybody before, has it? Nassau County Sheriff's Office deputies arrested a man and a woman. Both face charges of resisting arrest with violence, committing a lascivious act. Lascivious?
Lasciva.
Lativia from Destiny's Child. And exposing sexual organs. All right. Well, good for them. A local news outlet says that a deputy was patrolling the beach when he spotted the bicyclists. So initially, they're on a bike. They're drunk.
Got it.
They almost get hit by a car. And so the deputy stops them, arrests them, put them in the back of the car, where they then take off their clothes and start to fuck.
I mean,
and
it's a hot moment, you know?
I do, yeah.
There's that danger.
Right. Also, like, what if it's a super hot cop?
Like, are you just not supposed to fuck?
Right. Now I have a boner and I'm just not going to use it. What do you think this is? A civil society? No, this is Florida where anything goes. You take the fucking alligator out of your vagina. Remember the woman who did that?
I do.
Yeah. Oh, so many callbacks.
Could be the same.
Anyway.
Wait, one of them escaped and then what happened? They just...
Oh, he was later captured. Yeah, good for him. He tried to get away. I always say,
also
I mean...
just abandoning your partner like that. Very rude.
Well...
I guess one of them has to live, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
To pass on the family name.
Right.
I say if you have the chance to run, you take that chance, all right? That's what all every self-help book you read, it's about taking chances. It's about seizing the moment. And this is when the moment presented itself. You think, A, you're going to fuck in a cop car. B, you're going to run. And you probably will get caught. And you will go to a jail in Florida. And they'll serve you squirrel meat. And that's how you'll survive for the rest of your life. So I hope it's worth it. And that's it for this week's Worst Things First. Next, we are diving deep into the trials and tribulations of being a tall girl. Deep dive, deep dive, deep dive, deep dive, deep dive. Deep dive,
deep dive,
deep dive, deep dive. So while recently getting stoned in the city of Los Angeles, Barry and I started and quickly stopped watching the Netflix original masterpiece, Tall Girl. A film, if you're unfamiliar, about a high school girl who is so monstrously tall, you won't even fucking believe it when I tell you how tall she is. Are you ready for this? 6 feet, 1 inch tall. I mean, what? That is shorter than I am. I mean, to be fair, I am not a 12-year-old girl, however. She's, what, 15 in that movie?
Yeah, she's a junior in high school.
So 16.
Yes.
I was probably 6. I don't know how tall I was.
I was definitely 5'9", which is how tall I am now. And yeah. How tall I hopefully will be for a long time. But it's just not that tall.
Yeah, it's just like very ridiculous that they put this much weight on this girl suffering this much. You know, everybody has their own stories and struggles.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But also, 6'1 is not that tall.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Her parents in the movie put her on growth suppressants. They were like, you are a freak.
Yeah. The dad in the movie is like, I just want to be aware that like you might die. Which, like, okay, again, to be fair, people have issues, but...
But you know what? We're going to talk about all those issues.
But yeah, I mean, truly, finally, I feel like there's a blockbuster vehicle supporting the struggles of tall people, a historically persecuted group that I have belonged to since childhood. So, and yeah, I think, I mean, I've said this on the pod before, but many people don't know this about me, but I also am monstrously tall.
Mm-hmm.
It is often what people notice about me first, right after my, like, dashing good looks.
Mm-hmm.
That I am 6'3". Yeah.
Wow. I don't even think we can be friends anymore. That's disgusting.
I mean, it's basically a burden. Every day I live with a burden handed to me by Jesus himself. Famously short. Anyway, so I do want to get into the struggle of being tall. First, everyone assumes that you just know how to play sports, and I'm sick of it. Oh, I guess I can't be a jockey and ride Seabiscuit because I'm too tall. That's a different point.
It's like the one sport that it's better to be short.
Right.
But no.
But I guess I'll never be able to.
Not once.
Yeah, racist.
I all the time when I was growing up, people were like, oh, you must be so good at basketball. Like, no, I'm not.
Yeah.
I'll never be. And you're making me feel bad.
Also, they just assume that you have big hands and big feet. What if you're tall and you have small hands and small feet?
Wow.
And then you just, every day you fall over. I went to basketball camp when I was a kid.
What?
Yeah, which is why I'm tall, actually.
Ah, they stretched you.
Yeah, they put you in that thing, the stretcher mm-hmm. that they put Gollum in.
Yep.
At the beginning of Lord of the Rings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I went to basketball camp. And by that, I mean it was like a once a week after school thing.
Oh,
where
okay.
they taught you how to like free throw. Anyway, next! I don't like when tall clothes are too short. Clothes for tall people. Because I feel like when you get clothes that are specifically tall versions.
Uh-huh, a long leg.
For the short people who are listening, they do make shirts in tall, okay? Tall sizes. So they have normal sizes and then they have tall sizes. And tall sizes are too long, but short sizes are too short. I think a tall size looks weird. It's
yeah,
too long.
Because they're like, oh, you're tall, so you must have both long legs and long torso. Well, guess what, bitch? I have a very short torso. It's absurd how long my legs are.
Then you shouldn't need a tall shirt.
I know.
So then you can't relate.
But then the regular ones are weird fitting too.
But that's just your fucked up body. This has nothing to do with being tall. For me, I have a perfectly proportioned body. It's just too long. And yeah, sometimes when I buy shirts, they're like too short. But then the tall versions, they like look weird because they're too long.
Mm-hmm.
You look at them and you're like, this person is wearing like a full-blown mini dress.
Yeah.
But only on the top. That's what, have I said, I feel like I've said this on the podcast before, how I used to, when I was a kid, wear only a large shirt to bed.
Yeah. And you did somersaults when guests were over.
Yeah, we'd have people over and I would just do somersaults. I would have like Spider-Man underwear on.
Sure.
I wouldn't didn't just have like my tiny kid penis out flopping in the wind as I did somersaults around the family room. Next! More tall people problems. Just feeling guilty for existing at all in a concert setting, a theater setting, any real group setting where people are trying to see the same thing. I'm also a Midwesterner, which means I feel guilty about everything. And I, every time I go to a concert, everyone's like, oh, tall people get to see everything. No, I have to live with the guilt of knowing that you will never see what I get to see. You'll never experience the joy that I have in that moment. I feel bad for you. And then I have to carry that burden with me. I do feel bad, especially when I go to like a One Direction concert. Like I used to feel really bad because I was like, obviously, A, I'm the only person above the age of like 15 who's here.
Right.
And B, I'm 7 feet tall and everybody else is all, yeah, I stuck
girls,
out.
Girls,
like
they'd have to like stack on top of each other to see.
Yeah. Very first One Direction show I went to, thankfully it was like up against a concrete wall.
Mm.
Right. Because Harry had thrust me against it.
No.
Next! Tall people are constantly asked to reach stuff that all of the other shorts can't reach. Why don't you get your own goddamn stuff, old lady, at fucking Whole Foods?
Get one of those little clappers. That's not what they're called.
Reacher. A grabber.
Yeah, a grabber. A grabber. Get
why
one of those.
You, why
leave
don't
me
you
alone.
Use your fucking cane to knock it off?
Yeah.
You old bitch. You just knock them all off and then pick them up off the ground.
Knock them off or I'll knock you out, grandma.
Oh, like you're assuming that I have the upper body strength to lift my arms that high. Just because my arms are long doesn't mean I'm able to lift them.
Mm-mm.
My bones are bigger and they're heavier, and that requires more muscle and more mind control. I need to be able to focus my brain cells on lifting shit.
My hands are so far away from my body. You think I can just control them?
My limbs flail uncontrollably all the time. And now you want me to get a fucking Rice-A-Roni from the top shelf? No. Everybody knows that the worst items are at the top. They put the best items in the middle. Or that someone pays for them to be there. A fun fact.
What? Oh, at grocery stores.
Yeah, what the fuck do you think we've been talking about?
I thought you just meant like at home.
Why do you think I said I was beating up an old lady in my house?
I don't know if your grandma was there.
No, I'm talking about, yeah, when you're at the grocery store, every time I'm shopping, someone is like, can you help me, sir? And I'm like, no, lady, get it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Next! Also, my neck constantly hurts because I always have to look down at everybody and it's not cute.
Then you have to pay for massages and acupuncture. It's very expensive being this tall and lanky.
Yeah. And what is the angle that I'm looking at? I'm looking at everybody. All I see is the top of everyone's scalp. And some of you have gross scalps. But then everyone else gets to see me from the chin up, which is famously the worst angle that you can see me at. Yeah.
You ever thought about just chopping off a couple inches of your legs?
I mean, I do probably have a couple inches of like callus on the bottom of my foot that adds some height. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think if through willpower, I could probably like shave off a couple of inches. But also, I mean, there is a sense of superiority I have over people that I will never give up.
It's worth every neck cramp.
True. Next! Tall people have so much anxiety because whenever you take a group photo, you have no idea where you're supposed to stand. You throw off the entire balance of the photo if you're not completely in the center. You have to anchor the photograph.
God forbid you're friends with like all short people. Where are you supposed to go?
Yeah.
Are you supposed to kneel in the front? That's the worst.
Or spread your legs and like do a crouch.
Yeah.
You think I could hold a sorority squat? No, my quads shake. They can barely hold me when I'm standing up straight, let alone bending down. Absolutely not. Also, if I drop my phone, it has way more of a chance of breaking.
Absolutely. It's from such a higher spot.
Yeah, the altitude it's falling from is astronomically higher. I remember once I broke my phone and that fucker at the Apple store made me show him how far off the ground I actually dropped it from. It's like, bitch, it fucking fell, okay? And finally, the floors in my apartment are always dirty. You know why? Because the amount of energy it takes me to bend over and clean is way far too much. The drain in my shower is always clogged. Every shower I take is like a foot bath. Because you think I can expend the energy to bend over and unclog the drain? No, I have to pay someone for that. And that's why being tall sucks! Because I have to take money out of my bank account where I worked so hard. You know how much thought and energy I put into writing this podcast today? Like 20 minutes worth, okay? And all of that money that I earn, all tens of dollars that I get from the ad revenue of this show, goes to paying someone to unclog my shower drain. Also, sometimes doors are too small. The number of times I've hit my head on shit, far too much. I feel like Gandalf in the fucking Hobbiton hole. Just walking around, bopping my head on everything. So anyway, shout out to all of us tallies. We're really out here doing it.
Wouldn't change it for the world, though. Love it up here.
Yeah, also, we shut off Tall Girl after like 20 minutes, but I guarantee you that's the end of the movie, is where she's like, I wouldn't change it for anything. And that's it for this week's deep dive. Next, we have famously small girl Liza Koshy in the studio after this commercial break. Today's episode is brought to you by Smile Direct Club. Do you love comedy but stifle your laughter because you don't like how all your teeth look? Well, with Smile Direct Club, you can get a smile you'll love in as little as 6 months. No joke. You just visit smiledirectclub.com to book a free visit and 3D image at one of their smile shops, or you can have an impression kit mailed right to you. Then you'll receive an email with a preview of your new smile. Once you get your aligners, one of Smile Direct Club's duly licensed dentist or orthodontist will check in on your progress every 90 days. That's it. And you can get started without leaving the comfort of your home. Find out if you're a candidate by taking the free 30-second smile assessment on their website. Unhappy Hour listeners will get a free at-home impression kit with rebate and $100 off your aligners. Just go to smiledirectclub.com/podcast and use offer code UNHAPPY.
Don't wait any longer to get the smile you deserve. Get $100 off at smiledirectclub.com/podcast with code UNHAPPY. smiledirectclub.com/podcast, code UNHAPPY. Today's episode is also brought to you by First Leaf. Unlike other wine clubs, First Leaf uses your feedback and ratings to curate wine selections personalized to your unique tastes. First Leaf is so confident in the quality of their wine, they have a 100% satisfaction guarantee. If you're not feeling a particular bottle of wine, First Leaf will cover it completely. I mean, I pretty much drink wine for a living, but I'm no sommelier. Besides the rate at which I can chug an entire bottle, I barely know anything about wine. But that's why I love First Leaf's wine quiz. They ask questions about my food tastes, like if I put butter on everything, and obviously I do, and then their algorithm matches the perfect wines for me. You can start by taking the First Leaf wine quiz to assess your exact wine drinking preferences. First Leaf will then create an introductory 6-pack of wine for just $29.95. These wines normally go for at least like $20 a piece. Once you get your pack of wine, you can taste them and rate them online. Then First Leaf takes your ratings and selects unique wines based on your taste for your next shipment. In fact, First Leaf sends out more than 17,000 unique shipments of wine every month because everyone's tastes are different. Try First Leaf Wine Club today, where buying great wine is simple. Sign up with my link and you'll get an exclusive intro offer. 6 bottles of wine for only $29.95 plus free shipping. Just go to tryfirstleaf.com/unhappy. That's 6 bottles of wine for only $29.95 plus free shipping at tryfirstleaf.com/unhappy. My guest complainer today is actor, comedian, sensation, Liza Koshy.
You know her.
You know her from YouTube and Nickelodeon's Double Dare, Forbes 30 Under 30, and her web series, Liza on Demand, which is about to release its second season.
Yes!
Welcome, Liza.
September 25th, if you're wondering.
Yeah, thanks like literally around the corner.
Yeah, literally.
If not out by the time people hear this.
Oh my God, I hope so. Go watch it right now. It's free. The whole season is free on YouTube Premium.
And they can watch the first season now also?
Yeah, YouTube made it completely free so they can watch 8 episodes of season 1 and then 10 episodes of season 2 coming
nice.
Out.
Nice.
Yeah.
The binge. The full binge.
The full binge. Thank you for having me.
I'm so excited. So we like to start by asking everybody, what is one thing you hate that everybody else loves?
Yes, I got an email from my PR person telling me this question, so I'm prepped.
Watermelon.
No.
I hate watermelon.
I love watermelon.
I know, most people do, and I cannot stand it. Why, you ask?
Yeah.
Because the texture is so odd. It tastes like someone took a dirty sponge, put it in hot water, and left it out in the sun for 8 weeks, took it back inside, put it in the fridge.
Maybe you're just eating a horrible watermelon.
It could have been.
It could have been. No. Did you try watermelon one time?
I only did it one time. Ever since then, I've been angry. No, I've tried it multiple times. It's just a texture thing for me. Like, it just...
Yeah.
It's weird. It feels like that like magnetic sand almost. Like it just like dissolves in my mouth in a weird way.
Right. I see where you're coming from.
I have a sensitive mouth.
I disagree, but I see where you're coming from. Because I want to make this a safe place for people to complain about what bothers them.
Oh yeah, I'm pissed.
I did see a video I follow this hot chef, obviously.
Of course.
Even though he makes me viscerally upset.
And please send me a link to his Instagram.
He posted a story of him making a cake, and I'm using air quotes, because it just was a sliced watermelon in the shape of a cake that he iced.
No.
And then put shit on top.
That would piss me off.
And I get
angry. And it just
did
right now. I don't even have a visual.
I feel like that's a very like Pinteresty thing. People like making fruit look like cake. And I'm all like, I love watermelon. I would eat it.
Is it for the vegans?
I've had vegan cake too, and I'm on board.
Oh, vegan cake's delicious.
I'm just like, don't lie, don't make a watermelon look like something that it shouldn't be.
No. No, yeah. Don't disguise yourself. Be true to yourself. Speak
the other
truth,
thing that I have not had is when you like carve out a watermelon and put like a bottle of vodka in it.
That looks like scrumptious.
Yeah, I want to try.
Also, the giant drinks that I think you can like exclusively get in Louisiana, they're literally like the size of like a gumbo pot, but they're glass and it's like martini and they have like a whole candy store is inside of it. Like
yeah.
Peach rings and like gummy worms. And it's like a giant margarita though. And then like four bottles of beer stuck in it.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't think, yeah, I've never had like a fishbowl drink before.
I love that.
And I've never drank a drink from like from the fruit.
You've never had a drink from the fruit?
Right.
Oh, so like a you coconut.
Know, right. A coconut, pineapple.
This is good stuff. I feel like putting like some kind of tequila inside of a coconut would sell well.
Yeah.
Do you want to go in on this? 10%?
We just came up with a business right here.
Legit though, speaking of drinks, because I'm a big fan of your work.
Thanks.
I brought a little something for you because I just got back. My cultured ass just got back from Italia.
Yeah, and you've been jet setting all over the place.
Jet setting. I'm checking my privilege. It was amazing and it was absolutely wonderful. I took my family and we had the utmost amazing time. Got drunk with my parents for the first time.
Oh, I want to hear about that.
I got to tell you. Okay, so in Sorrento in Italy, it's this marvelous place where they just adore their lemons. Like women walk around with like lemon dresses on.
Yeah.
Like it's like however many lemon trees you have in your backyard determines your income, like right. As a family. It's crazy. And so there's this drink called limoncello.
Right. I know it.
Do you know it?
I do, yeah.
Okay, because I
do you have
it.
Limoncello I right now? Limoncello.
Limoncello. Limoncello. I literally brought one here today.
Oh my God, that bottle is beautiful.
I wish you guys could see this. Suddenly I wish we had a visual to this
podcast.
It looks
like, yeah, it looks like it came off of like Snape's desk.
It totally came from the airport, but
it was just mean the jar, the container it's in is very Potions Master.
But this is amazing. It's limoncello, so I brought this.
It's beautiful.
Just for you to stare at because I do have to take it back because I only bought one bottle.
I know, we don't have any receptacle to even put it in, but it is beautiful.
But they brought it out at the restaurant, like, in these tiny little shot glasses, right?
Yeah.
And my American self's like, yeah, let's go. And I took the whole thing down. You're supposed to sip.
Yeah.
Like, real gently. And it like burned. And I was like, oh, that's good stuff. Like, that.
Yeah.
That's how it's supposed to.
I mean, I
react.
Didn't know this
got
but
blasted.
Until recently. Because like my family is Italian. I'm technically Italian. Bellisai is Italian.
Did you do a 23andMe or do you trust your parents?
No, I'm pretty. This nose doesn't lie.
Okay.
my chest hairline that doesn't stop above the like collarbone.
You just sent a picture to 23andMe.
I feel like we like a limoncello is like an aperitif. You drink it. You're supposed to sip it after
slowly.
Your meal, and it like helps you digest stuff.
I took the whole shot down and just immediately got blasted.
I would absolutely drink it as a shot.
Oh,
yeah.
It was delicious as a shot. I thought it was like a lemon drop, like you know when they do like vodka
right.
and lemon.
That's also what it makes me think of.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I took it down and then I look around and all my parents are like slightly, all my parents, I have many of them, both of my parents and my siblings are just like sipping gently like everybody else.
Yeah.
And I didn't take note of that. And I just immediately got drunk in my seat and let down all the walls with my family. So it was wonderful.
Yeah. Because you have two siblings?
Two siblings.
And you're the youngest.
Yeah. Very clearly so.
And you're 20?
23.
So
18 if you're a casting agent.
we can bleep out your age.
A casting agent for voice acting.
But you are, yeah, I guess you wouldn't have gotten like wasted in front of your parents a whole bunch.
It's my first time like being an adult and going on vacation like with my parents.
Yeah.
And it was the coolest thing in the world. They got drunk. My mom is the exact same as me when I'm drunk, which is so exciting to discover. We're singing and waltzing down the street.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's very...
In really offensive Italian songs. And we do not speak Italian, which is why that was offensive.
I mean, that's... What is Italy about, if not getting drunk and, yeah.
Showing how America is awful in the middle of the street.
No, I mean, was there a point when your parents saw what you were, like, videos you were making, you were like, who is this person?
Yeah.
Or were they always like, oh, dramatic we knew pause. She was in there.
That side of me does come out. So they do see like the over exaggerated, like big versions of me because that's like the performer side of me that like dances in the middle of the living room and like begs everyone to turn the cameras on for the sake of attention. Like that's like me being just an idiot. But I feel like my dad saw my videos when I was in college or when I was in high school, sorry, and like came across them and like was wondering why I had so many followers and like went through and just like made me delete all of them because he was like any protective dad would was like, what are these strangers doing watching my daughter make videos online? Just that sentence itself sounds disturbing.
Right.
So like my dad freaked out and was like, no, you cannot keep doing this. And then eventually like had his approval because it was just it basically was out of college and a tour started following me and came up to me and like asked me if I wanted to take pictures with them. And my dad was like, whoa, what's happening? Like, what's the reason behind what is this? And then realized, oh, it was a great thing that I was connecting and relating with like people online and was creating a community. And then I don't know. It was just dope. It was cool to have my parents' approval eventually.
Right.
Do you have your parents' approval to this day? Not at all.
No, they actually, we don't speak. I do want to ask the cliche question. Yeah, just I guess about your origin so that for people who have a no idea.
My ethnic background?
Birthday. I want to know where you were fucking born.
Why are you fucking brown?
So you started making vines, right?
Yes.
In like high school-ish?
Yes. Okay, so here's the story.
That gin story, not...
How my parents met. So basically, I started making vines in high school. I was 17 and posted my first vine when the app like first came out and just like kept creating from there. Like my... quote-unquote sets were my car and where it was my bathroom, anywhere that I could just scream and be obnoxious on my own and then go back out into the real world. And I was just creating just to have fun because I just thought it was fun to share with my friends. And I had like maybe only four of my closest friends following me at the time. And then it slowly just like grew, like Vine introduced Revine. And then it became this like sense of virality that Vine was like going for with its content. And I just kept doing it and it was just fun. And then I eventually like got into YouTube because I realized I could talk a lot longer than 6 seconds.
Right.
I couldn't really shut up. And that will be the exact reason for my podcast that I'll eventually make. But like, I loved like creating characters and sketches, and so that's when I went into the world of YouTube and just like went ham on that, and then eventually moved out to LA with the blessing of my dad, who made me academically focused my entire life and like made me delete followers, and then was like, hey, do you want to be, you know, the youngest daughter who's I've been the most lenient with? Go explore your privilege and resources in LA. And basically like gave me the okay to go do it. And I moved out here when I was 19, started creating my YouTube videos or continued. And then eventually YouTube came to me like with a show idea, like for a show, do you want to create a show? And then that's how Liza on Demand was born. I'm just like, you want to do like a scripted series of sort? And I was like, yes, please. Yeah, I would love to work with other people outside of my living room, because it was just me on my own editing, filming, writing, posting all by myself. And as amazing as that was, it was so wonderful to like find other people and get into a writer's room and like dance around ideas and like work and be collaborative. So it was really fun. But it was like YouTube is amazing, and like creating on there with like friends and vlogging with friends was also dope.
Yeah, this is going to sound like a lot of words because my brain is addled with limoncello. But I feel like there's so many people who like popped off on Vine, and that's only 6 seconds, obviously. But I feel like you genuinely are one of the few who is like so funny and talented in real life. And that like actually translates.
Yeah, we've known each other for years and you haven't said any of this. Is it just because we're recording?
I'll only say it for the microphones. I will never say it anywhere else. But no, I think that's why I feel like the YouTube series works so well. And your YouTube personality, like in general, is just like, you can last more than 6 seconds.
That will be my Tinder bio the moment I sign up for Tinder. I'm the one that can last longer than six.
Listen, I'll tell you about my Tinder experiences. Not many can say the same.
Well, that means...
Use that tagline.
I will.
If you can.
Hook, line, and sinker. That means the absolute most coming from someone who literally is my inspiration for my Twitter. Your tweets.
Thanks. I only said those things to fish for compliments for myself. Now it's your turn. I'll take a sip of water.
Damn it. I fell right for that.
Well, you got to go to the Met Gala, which is my like biggest dream in life.
I saw Harry Styles.
Yeah, I know. I got a phone call that night as I was like getting into bed about your interaction with Harry Styles.
My interactions, others' interactions. It was he's a magical being to witness in person, and you know this.
Oh, I know
firsthand. Yeah. But it was hard. My whole demeanor. It even, like, my voice is cracking just speaking about him. He makes me nervous and sweaty. But, like, my whole demeanor changed when he came in and I interviewed him. Everybody, like, there was a whole compilation of, like, me speaking to different people. And I was pretty much, like, unwavered. But then Harry comes in and I'm like, hello, Mr. Harry Styles. Like, for whatever reason, put on this, like, I'm all of a sudden British.
Yeah.
And high-pitched and have crumpets maybe in my back pocket. Like, it was, like, weird how I like tried to go into this like hello sir,
right?
It's wonderful to have you here.
I think yeah, he's I don't know, he just does things to people.
It's weird.
Yeah,
I've never felt that until I met that.
But I guess for people who don't know, so you hosted the Vogue red carpet, like
yeah,
what their YouTube channel?
It's like their Vogue, it was me and Vogue's collab. No, so like Vogue has, yeah, their YouTube channel.
Right.
And then they had, it was the red carpet interview. I was the red carpet interview correspondent for the Met Gala.
Right.
So like I was at the very top of the Met Gala carpet.
Yeah.
And so I could see everybody like walking in, go through all the paparazzi photos, climb up the stairs, climb, not step. And then they would come up to me as the last interview before they went in for the night.
Right.
So like that was insane.
Is there anybody who you are like genuinely starstruck by or would be starstruck by if you met?
Oh man. Now? Oh man. I think it all like disappeared the moment I met. This is me just going into something else, but Barack Obama.
Oh yeah.
Cause I
didn't talk about that at all.
In 2016.
Right.
And he is just like such a force. Like such a halo just surrounded him, words can't explain. Like I literally get speechless every time the fact that I met him. But like I can't be nervous as I was in that moment.
Right, because that was he was still president. Right, and it was like a get out the vote kind of register to vote thing that you interviewed him for.
Yes,
yeah,
big fan. yeah. But yeah, no, it was just the coolest thing to like sit down and talk with our president about like telling people to go out and vote.
Yeah,
but I think Rihanna was the hardest after him, was like the hardest person to keep my cool around. And then I think Harry Styles. Rihanna, I just lost my shit. I literally just like squealed and then said like, she said like, you have a good night. And I was like, praise, hallelujah. Because the theme that year was like, the heavenly bodies. Or,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was one of the, what do you call it?
The heavenly bodies. Yeah, she was, yeah, one
she
of the
She was a heavenly body.
She was
co-chair,
a heavenly body.
Co-chair, yeah.
Co-chair. But it was so cool.
Well, I always think like, I mean, this I realize is going to sound weird to most people, but in my brain it made sense of being like, Harry Styles to me is like, yeah, he's just like a dude.
A dude.
Even though he has an aura and a presence.
Yeah.
But there are people like genuinely like, I wouldn't know how to talk to like Beyonce.
Oh.
I feel like I can imagine myself in my brain relating to a Harry Styles, even though he is in another planet.
Yes.
But like Beyonce is just like on another plane.
Yeah. I don't know if she's from here. Like every time I say I'm from Houston, I'm like just like Beyonce. And I coin myself as off-brand Beyonce because it gives me some sort of credibility that I was born in the same place as her. But she was supposed to come to the Met the past 2 years. That's what everybody expects, right?
Right.
And I was expecting that too as the interviewer up there, so I always prep. But she didn't come, and I'm honestly was like, thank God, because I would have just embarrassed myself in front of her so hard. I can't imagine.
Anyway, we've talked about almost nothing. Well, before we head into talking about other things that you hate, I do want to ask about Lies on Demand. So it's coming back. So the first season is all about your character doing various TaskRabbit-y type jobs.
We're the biggest plug for TaskRabbit. We have no idea. I got to invoice them then.
Right. What is it called in the show?
Task It. No lawsuit
you might
is
as
what
well
it's called.
Just, yeah, make...
We should have collaborated with them, get them to fund the show. It would have been great. No, but it's Liza is basically
in the gig economy, which is kind of like not like dissimilar to what I've done with my career in terms of employing myself or finding a way to employ myself by myself through my phone. So like Liza basically goes on all these gigs and she like babysits a ficus in the first season and she gets hired to fill out a funeral and cry at a funeral. That's a real actual thing. Like we did our research.
Oh,
people look for that on Craigslist.
I've heard about this.
And I'm going to need a few at mine. So
it is sad, but also... Yeah.
A necessary need.
Right.
And then what are some other things? She dressed up as a man to basically kind of like address, and I speak of her in third person. She's great. But she dresses up as a man to like acknowledge like the gender stereotypes in the workplace and like trying to crush those and show how like her being a man, she was perceived differently and et cetera, et cetera. But it's cool. There's always like a moral message or like, you know, a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down kind of thing. And you like take away a little piece of like social commentary or something. Hopefully, fingers crossed, you learn something.
And what is now season two? What is the story?
Ooh, season two, still in the gig economy, still employing herself, still independent. But this season, last season, she was more so like trying to like ground herself. Liza was like grounding herself. It's weird when the show is your name and then it's also your real name in real life. So I have to like distinguish like which Liza I'm talking
so you
about.
Don't sound like you're disassociating.
Yeah. But like Liza in the show is like more independent than ever now and like has kind of established herself in her career and now she has like a romantic through line.
Ooh.
And
so,
and she's like going on dates and she's just trying to like dabble outside of anything she's done before kind of thing. And I will say, just because I want people to watch the show, the first episode, Liza in the show, not me, Liza's naked.
Oh. I did naked. See a clip.
Yeah.
I remember.
It was fun to film.
Right.
But it was just running down the streets of downtown LA, just completely naked, breezy.
That sounds like my absolute nightmare.
It was vulnerable. And I'm so impressed I didn't catch anything.
Yeah.
Just in the air. I don't know if anything's airborne, but my bits and goodies were all out for anything to enter, and I was fine.
That's good to know, I suppose.
Yeah. If you ever do it, don't worry. Downtown LA, prime spot.
Great experiment.
Yeah.
Okay, now we'll move into our game, which is, we call it Elab or Hate. We found things that you said you hate on Twitter,
God.
I just want you to elaborate on them. Most of them are clearly jokes, but you thought them. You thought them. It passed your brain at some
Lord.
Point.
Okay, give it to me. I'm ready to address my past. I'm not ashamed of it. Here we go.
Yeah, it is always weird when people read your tweets back at you. Some of them are pretty straightforward.
Say it.
I hate thinking a killer is standing outside my shower. How often does that happen?
What year was that? Did I steal that from a Tumblr post?
That was from 2015. Most of these are from 2015.
Because that's the last time I tweeted. Seriously, you came up on Twitter and you raised the standard and I didn't know what to do with my hands.
Sorry.
That's what most people say. Let me think. But yeah, I mean, that was just like... always a fear that there's going to be a killer outside of my shower or just in my shower, like waiting for me to step in fully naked. But I'm much more comfortable naked.
Well, this
now.
Would have been what?
Thanks to Liza on Demand.
Yeah. You don't have to shower alone.
You can, no, you can do it with others now. My worst fear is that I like to upgrade if I were to tweet something like that today.
Yeah.
Is if someone came into my home and like forgot their weapon or like their. Their gun, whatever it is. I know it's a scary thought, which is why I didn't tweet it. But if they forgot their weapon and then they just walked upstairs to my kitchen and saw my knife set, and I just made it super easy for them.
Oh, like, you meant like they left their weapon at home.
Yeah, like they left their weapon
at home. I thought that you meant that like they came, accidentally left their weapon at your apartment and left.
Oh, no, that'd be nice.
Right, like then you just have an extra weapon.
A little gift.
Yeah.
But no, like if they left that at home and like came in and were like, oh, that's convenient. Like I can still go through with my plans tonight. I thought I was going to have to go back home and go grab it. Grab the little butter knife, but she has one right here.
That's
so
why
visible.
I keep my knives... right next to me in bed.
Oh my God.
I have an irrational fear, not that someone will be in my apartment while I'm there, but it's that someone's there when I'm not there.
Oh.
I also have an irrational fear that, like, there are cameras in my apartment and they're, like, watching me.
I have a completely rational fear that they are there and that I put them there.
And just forgot?
And
then you made a job of it.
And then I made a job of it. Exactly.
No, I don't know. There's something weird about, like, I don't know.
Like your own Truman Show? Like, sometimes, like, if I get into, like, elevators or rooms where nobody else is there, I'll, like, do finger guns at the corner of the room just because I feel like someone's watching.
Yeah.
So I might as well just, like, hey, what's up?
Okay, we've gone through one. This is... Well, this is appropriate. I hate vacations. I gain at least 15 pounds in a matter of 5 days, I swear.
Oh, my God. I'm really basic with my tweets. Thank God I stopped.
There was
tweeting.
More to it, but it's irrelevant.
Okay. Okay, so I love vacations.
Yeah.
I gained 1 pound in Italy.
That's pretty impressive. That's like 200% of your body weight, so that's pretty impressive.
I literally walked so much. I walked everything off.
Yeah.
And danced everything off via Limoncello and like, yeah, I love vacations. I love watching the evolution though from my tweets to where I am.
Yeah. I like, this is actually, it's constructive when I do this with people because it's like, look how far you've come.
I wish my therapist would do this with me.
That's honestly, I feel like I should just send my therapist my Twitter account.
Yep. Send her your draft. That's an even more of an insight to your
she
brain.
She gets my drafts pretty much. She gets them out loud.
Oh, I will get back to tweeting. I got a lot to make up for. Bury those with some good stuff.
Starting with, yeah, things that you hate.
I think I stole those tweets, but I'm going to steal your tweets.
Good.
And just copy them onto mine.
Some other hate tweets. I hate when I accidentally delete a funny voice message. They'll never know how hilarious I was.
Oh my God, I was so full of myself for having such bad tweets. I still feel pretty sad about that.
How often are you leaving voicemail messages? Are you a phone caller?
I am not a phone caller.
Are you a FaceTimer?
I'm definitely not a FaceTimer. No, I knew that was the next question because people FaceTime me and I'm like, this is an invasion of my privacy. Like, we have to get to a level of friendship before I answered that FaceTime call.
Yeah.
Calls I'm good with. Calls I treat my phone like a pager sometimes. Like, someone will call me and I'll be like, oh, I should get back to them because they beeped me.
Right.
So I text them back. I am a millennial in that sense where I'm like.
Even voicemails, I'm like, why are you leaving this?
My voicemail box isn't set up.
It's just, yeah. I don't think mine is either.
But I do send like voice messages.
Right.
So when I'm too lazy to type or my acrylic nails are too long, I just like press down on the voice thing and record that and send it off.
Yeah.
That's nice.
I'm always a little, when someone sends me one of those, I'm like, I now have to listen to this.
When it says 45 seconds.
Yeah. Anything longer than 6 seconds.
Are you guys still tuned in? Because this has been like 45 minutes. I don't know how you guys are doing this.
Right. We only listen to the first 10 seconds of a podcast.
So she doesn't like watermelon.
Right. That's all
that's
anybody
it.
Will remember Ever is know. That you hate watermelon. All right. That's enough of elaborate. That's all the time we have.
Do I smell a smooth transition coming into the end?
Well, I'm going to have you say, where can people find you and your work?
Oh, my gosh. Not on Twitter.
Not on Twitter.
Twitter at all. You can find me on YouTube. Would love for you guys to go check out my show, Liza on Demand, or our show. Season 1 is free, like we said in the beginning. It still is. Season 2 will be free, too, on September 25th. I'm so, so freaking excited for everybody to watch. And find me on Instagram at Liza Koshy and on Twitter to keep up with my new, much better tweets.
Right.
I have a lot to make up for. So.
It's a work in progress.
I can be a work in progress and a masterpiece at the same time.
I'll officially be your Twitter mentor.
Please. Or just writer, ghostwriter.
Even though I've tweeted like once in the last 2 weeks, we're
was
all
it about Harry
on
Styles?
It
or
probably was. Everybody, go watch all of Liza's stuff.
Please.
And that's it. Thank you.
Yeah. Bye. I hope this was a happy hour for people. I love it. I love it.
Unhappy hour.
Unhappy hour.
Yeah. All right. We're almost there. We're almost at the end of the show. But first, our chasers. Chasers are the good stuff that helps all the bad stuff go down easier. Starting with the TV shows we've been watching this week. Barry, what you been watching?
I watched my very first episode of RuPaul's Drag Race ever you and our friend, I'll say our friend, Ellen.
Yeah.
And I was so excited and I had a great time. And now that I know it's on Amazon Prime, I'm going to keep watching.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we had a bit of a cultural exchange in L.A.
Oh, we sure did. Is this what the TV you're watching this week?
Yeah, technically not a TV show.
Technically.
It was a momentous occasion yeah. in my life. Mm-hmm. I finally saw the classic film, We Are Your Friends.
Woo! Been trying to get you to watch this for, I think, 3 years.
Yeah, starring Zac Efron, directed by Max from Catfish. It does, I think, historically had one of the worst opening weekends.
But you know who saw it twice in theaters opening weekends?
You.
Me.
Also had one of the worst ratings on Rotten Tomatoes, I think, ever. I feel like, actually, well, if you don't know, it is the movie in which Zac Efron plays an EDM DJ.
Mm-hmm.
And not unlike Tall Girl, the entire intention of the movie is to basically validate the persecution experienced by these unappreciated members of society, EDM DJs.
Yeah.
And I think, you know what? They did.
Mm-hmm.
I left that experience knowing in my heart that EDM DJs are doing for our society what, like, Mahatma Gandhi did for India.
100%.
I would highly recommend checking out We Are Your Friends.
Not sober. Absolutely not even remotely sober.
Maybe it was because we were stoned, but also I do think it was one of those movies that's like horrible, but still enjoyable
to
watch.
Right, it's fun. It's not... Tall Girl was like just bad. We Are Your Friends was bad, but good.
Right.
Bad, good because it was so bad. I mean, I've seen it 3 times now, so that's several hours of my life.
Anyway, what is your non-TV chaser?
Ooh, you know what it's going to be. It was my new jumpsuit.
Oh, yeah.
I was, obviously, we were in L.A., and I went to a sandwich spot, and my friend Tobin was like, oh, look at this store. I think you would like it. And it was New Works, N-O-O Works, which is a company I follow on Instagram, but never bought online because I was like, I don't really know if that stuff's going to fit me well. You know why? Because I'm tall. But it was there and I tried it on. Turns out it all fits super great. And I got this jumpsuit for an event that night that I wore with my white boots that I was very excited that I bought. They were the funky boots that I don't normally wear that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I wore it all and I felt fucking great and really made me happy. So that's why it's my chaser.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good. And what about you? What's your chaser? Was it my jumpsuit?
Yeah, my chaser was also your jumpsuit.
Thank you.
And the fact that I ripped it without telling you.
What the fuck?
My chaser was also something that we did in L.A., which was eat Ample Hills ice cream.
Hell yeah.
Ample Hills has ooey gooey butter cake ice cream,
yeah.
Which is, I guess, from a St.
Louis
yeah. dessert mm-hmm. that they put in ice cream. Somehow we started talking about ooey gooey butter cake with our very terrifying Uber driver. Yeah.
She was aggressive.
She was very aggressive. She banged on the steering wheel a number of times. She threatened to fight almost everybody that we talked about.
Sure did.
Yeah. Like the number of times that she said she would go to jail over a basic disagreement, like a customer service disagreement with Puma Online. That she recounted to us in detail and said she would go to jail
unprompted.
To fight someone.
Unprompted.
But then we started talking about ooey gooey butter cake and we were like, oh yeah, Ample Hills has delicious ooey gooey butter cake ice cream. And then we ate that. And then my trainer yelled at me. So basically, it's been a roller coaster of emotions this week.
But the highs were really Ample Hills. I should also say Ample Hills is a famously New York-based ice cream shop, but they did in fact open an LA location, and that is fantastic for me.
Anyway, enough with this fucking episode. That's it for this week's Unhappy Hour. Thank you for listening. You can head to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you get podcasts. Hit that subscribe button, then rate us and review us, but only if it's nice. I don't want to hear your shit. Unhappy Hour is a production of Pineapple Street Media. It's produced by Barry Finkel, Melissa Slaughter, and me, Matt Balasai. Special thanks to Jenna Weiss-Berman, Max Linsky, and Maddie Sprunkheiser, a fellow tall girl. Music by Hansdale Sue. You can bother Barry at Finkel Berry Pie. You can worship me at Matt Balasai. And you can follow Unhappy Hour Pod on Twitter for all the latest podcast buzz. And that's it. That's everything. Thank you for listening. See you next week. Bye-bye. True to your heart. You must be true to your heart. Because when you're true to your heart.